This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, so today's hadith inshallah is the fourth hadith in this series. And if somebody can please just close the door. So the fourth hadith in this series. And first, as usual, we will read the hadith in Arabic and then in English inshallah, then we'll proceed with the explanation. So the hadith in Arabic is قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم البر ما سكنت إليه النفس واطمأن إليه القلب والإثم ما لم تسكن إليه النفس ولم يطمئن إليه القلب وإن أفتاك المفتون. So here رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that bir, which you can translate as virtue or righteousness, and we'll talk a little bit more about it inshallah, is what the soul is comfortable with and the heart is comfortable with. And ithm, which you can translate as sin, disobedience of Allah, and sin is what the soul is uncomfortable with and the heart is uncomfortable with, despite what fatwa givers might tell you. Right? And in a lafz in Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, rahimahullah, the following hadith is as such: Al-birru husnu al-khuluq, wal-ithmu ma haka fi nafsika, wa karihta ayya tali'a alayhi an-nas. So in Muslim, you'll read that hadith as: virtue is good character, good manners. And sin is what does not sit well with the soul, and you hate that people would find out about it. Right? So that's the hadith in Muslim. So, this hadith tells us what? This hadith tells us about the connection between what we do and our hearts. Similar in extent to the last hadith. If you remember the hadith about the white spot and the black spot that are deposited in the hearts based on what we do. So you remember all of that, the last hadith. That's the last thing that we talked about. This hadith also tells us about the connection and the deep connection between what we do and our hearts. Because it tells us that what we do is received differently by our hearts. Whether it is good or bad, our heart will react to it differently. Which is something that we may not be aware of, but the heart reacts to it differently. And it gives us an ability to decide on what to do next. So that our sense of right and wrong, based on what we do, tells us what we can do next. Should we proceed with this thing and do it because we are comfortable with it, or should we refrain and stop doing it because we are uncomfortable with it? So it tells you really about, again, that deep connection between what we do on the outside and how we are on the inside. First, as a reception, and second of all, as our decisions regarding what we can do with it next. Go ahead or not. Right? So that's clear. Inshallah, it will become even clearer as we talk about it. Bismillah azza wa jalla. The first thing here that comes to our mind when we read this hadith is that issue of fitrah. The fitrah meaning that innate nature that we have, that Allah created us with, deposited in the heart of every single human being. Whether they are now as adults Muslims or non-Muslims, every single being has that fitrah in their hearts. And that fitrah is created with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with love for virtue and hatred for the disobedience of Allah. That is in every heart. How do we know that? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every single newborn is born with this fitrah. Right? And that ability to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ability inside of it to recognize the truth, is you are created with it. Whether now we maintain that fitrah in that pure nature or not, that is something else, because we can corrupt it. We can corrupt that fitrah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says later, فَأَبُوهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Then it's his parents that make him take this religious path or that religious path. But initially he is born with that fitrah. You ask, what is this fitrah? Do you want it even to be clear? He says, yes. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْمِلَّةِ. Every newborn is born on the millah. What is this millah? Islam. Every newborn is born on Islam. So meaning that you will find your happiness when you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be miserable when you are away from Him. And your nafs, right, is always looking for Allah to satisfy it. Right? It's always looking for Allah, and it's only Allah that can satisfy it. And it's looking for Islam to satisfy it. And you, subhanAllah, you see, even, you know, though people have different faiths and, you know, opinions and all, there is something also universal about humanity, which is that we always value virtue. Maybe not all types of virtue, but you look at honesty. Universally valued. And it's not that, you know, we've been socially constructed that we value honesty. No, this is really something that is deposited in us. Mercy, kindness, universally valued, right or wrong. If this was not something that has been done by a creator, you will find variations in it. But universally we value and respect that, and we react negatively to cruelty and unkindness, dishonesty, cheating, right? We run away from it. Even though we might ourselves commit it, but we respect those who don't do these things. SubhanAllah, something that is in the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deposited that in us. So this is our fitrah. And because our fitrah and the religion of Allah both come from the same source, they totally agree. They totally agree. And disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely disagrees with our fitrah. Because this is not how Allah made us. This would be like what? Birr, or obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like you taking seeds and water to a fertile land. That fertile land is your heart. That fertile land is your heart. And the heart is ready. That land is ready. It just wants to grow something. So you bring in Allah's teachings, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, right? And you put it in that land. These are the seeds and the water. You put the seeds in and you put the water. And you notice, the land is fertile, right? It's rich. And you notice that it gives you these beautiful plants, these beautiful trees. And then, as a consequence, these delicious and nutritious fruits. This is iman in the heart of the mu'min. There's total agreement. What you were waiting for is these teachings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are receptive, you are more than ready, and they find their place naturally in it, and they interact naturally, and they produce this wonderful result. That's iman. That's total agreement. Or if you want, for instance, another example, right? You go and you want to find a place to sit. And you try this chair, it doesn't work. You try this chair, it doesn't work. You try this chair, it doesn't work. I'm uncomfortable until you find that perfect chair, that perfect fit, that perfect sofa or what. You sit and you say, this is it. Right? So that seat inside your heart is waiting. And that thing that will really fill it is Allah's religion. Perfect fit. The opposite, which is sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be the opposite. Let's take a few examples, just to illustrate, right? You know, you play this jigsaw puzzle, where you have puzzles of a picture and you put them together, right? Maybe not, it takes a lot of time. But you know how sometimes you could be so frustrated, and people, I'm just going to jam these two pieces together, because it's just fit, I want to finish this. But if you try to jam them together and they don't fit, what happens? You may end up breaking the piece. And it doesn't look nice. And you never finish that puzzle. Or like a machine. And you're trying to put it back together again, and the pieces don't really fit, and you try to jam them in. If you try to jam it in, especially if that machine is sensitive, you'll damage it. Or at least it doesn't work. At least it doesn't work or works horribly. Same thing with the heart. You try to bring this sin to a clean heart, right? And you try to jam it in and to force it in and to force it in, it doesn't really fit. The heart doesn't like it. The heart rejects it. The heart has trouble with it. Even though we have shahwa, right? We talked about shahwa before. Even though we have inclinations, but even though a person might do it and they have this desire for it, but still it doesn't sit well inside. I've done something terrible. I have to ask Allah for forgiveness. I have to repent. So why do you feel that? Again, it's not just a matter of people's pressure. Or this is how what they taught me. Or this is what society is. It's something more than that. Something that is inside and deep. That is calling you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is telling you, hey, notice, I put this in your heart so that you could come back to me. So that you would know that this is wrong. So this is one evidence that this is wrong. The feeling that you find in your heart. If we want to take the example of that land, sin to that land, that fertile land that is ready to receive Allah's message, sin would be like toxic waste, like poison. You put it inside that land, and what happens to that land? That is ready to produce. Your heart is ready to produce. My heart and your heart are ready to produce, are ready to be close to Allah. But you put that poison in it, and what happens to it? It starts dying. You can see that part where you put that waste, it starts dying. Getting poisoned. The longer you leave it, the more poisoned it becomes. Then that poison spreads to the other plants. And it kills them. Right? It kills the other khair, the other goodness that is in you. And it keeps spreading. And then that soil itself becomes infertile. They can't grow anything in it. There's soil, right, that is infertile. You can't grow anything. It needs to be treated again to make it fertile and receptive to plant growth. So this is the example of sin. So, going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life really steals the beauty from our life and steals the harmony of our soul, the harmony of our heart. And the only way that that can be restored is if we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only thing that brings that harmony, because Allah is the creator of that harmony. We ask ourselves, why is it that only the obedience of Allah or Allah's guidance can help us? Because in my heart and in your heart, we have questions. The only one that can answer those questions is Allah. Fully. Right? I as a human can, you know, make up some answers. But the only really person who can answer these questions is Allah. Who created me? Where am I going? What is my destiny? What works for me? What doesn't work for me? I can't answer these questions for you. Only Allah's guidance can answer that question for you. Right? And we have in our hearts also needs. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fulfill that need in the specific proportion that your heart will need it. Only Allah can do that. Right? How much hope should I have? How much fear should I have? How much love should I have? What should I love appropriately? What should I stay away from? You can't learn that on your own. Another human being, it's difficult for them to teach you that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can teach you that. And finally also, who's the one who had created happiness to begin with? How created peace to begin with? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's natural to know the creator of happiness will give you happiness. But when? When He's happy with you. And the creator of peace will give you peace. But when? Right? When you approach Him desiring peace and so on. So why is it that I lack all of these things? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to me, and I can only get it through Allah's obedience. Right? Being close to Allah. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined bir in a specific way. What you are comfortable with. Right? Now, you'll find that there is also other definitions for bir. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. Bir is the one who has taqwa. Allah defines it like that. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. But bir is the one who believes in Allah and in the last day and the angels and the books and the prophets of Allah, etc., etc., to the end of it. So bir here can mean two things. Bir can mean, and also the definition of the Prophet in Sahih Muslim, al-birru husnul khuluq, good character. So bir can really mean two things. Bir could mean how you interact with other people, your good character, the good manners that you have. This is bir. So think, we say birrul walidain, right? The bir that you have to your parents, how you should treat them. This is the bir, or one definition for bir. The other definition of bir is as what we read in that ayah, taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or acts of obedience. Iman in Allah and His books and the angels and giving charity, etc., etc. So bir can mean this and bir can mean that. In English you can translate it as virtue, as righteousness. So the definition that the Prophet ﷺ gave for bir in our main hadith, what you are comfortable with, is one definition among several definitions, right? It's not the only definition of bir. Why am I saying this? Why am I emphasizing this? Because it could be that a person will read that hadith about bir. Al-bir is what you're comfortable with. So they will think that, okay, whatever I am comfortable with is right. And whatever I am uncomfortable with is wrong. Period. Done. So bir becomes a category for what I like and I dislike. Period. And ithm or sin becomes a category for what I hate, period. Meaning that they will not have a definition of their own, an independent definition. They will only have an internal definition. And if bir, righteousness, and sin wholly have an internal definition in our hearts, then we'll not only have one single Islam, do we? Each one of us will have their own individual Islam, right? You follow me? Right? That would be the wrong understanding of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ is not saying, whatever you think is good for you is good for you. And whatever you think is bad for you is bad for you. Then where is the rest of the sharia then? Where is the rest of the Quran? And where is the rest of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? He's not saying that. We'll explain what he's saying. He's saying that, when you are going to take the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside, this is what's going to produce in your heart. And when you're going to take the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside, this is what is going to produce in your heart. Not that you start judging everything based on your own reaction. Right? And we can, as humans and also as Muslims sometimes, we can take it to an extreme. Where we only make our hearts the judge of everything that we want to do. So for instance, I feel that this is right. So it must be right. Some humans will say that. I feel that this is right. In my heart, deep inside, I feel that this is right. So I'm going to do it. Deep inside my heart, I feel that this is wrong. So I'm not going to do it. Right? Well, that's not the final judge. The final judgment, really, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Because if we take our heart's resistance to something or acceptance of something as the final judge, that what happens of all the ayahs and all the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, as in this ayah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps you may like something and it would be bad for you. And perhaps you might hate something and it would be good for you. If only our emotional reactions are the criterion, then what do we do with this ayah? This ayah is telling us that sometimes you will like something and it is bad for you. Sometimes you will love something, right? Sometimes you will love something and it's bad for you. Sometimes you will hate something and it is good for you. Sometimes when we want to pray, you will find heaviness in the heart sometimes, right? Sometimes you'll find the body is not helping. So does that mean then based on my reaction that I shouldn't pray? No. Right? So why do we find that hesitation in our hearts or discomfort sometimes with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals? Why? It's our own weakness. Right? Short-sightedness. Right? It's our own sin pulling us down. It's the whispers of the shaitan. It's our test in this life that we have a desire and we have sometimes to overcome this desire. So we can't just take the reaction of our heart as the final judge. Why do sometimes when Allah says don't do this thing, we feel that we want to do it? Right? Because we have a shahwa. We have a desire. We have the shaitan pushing us. Right? So again, our heart cannot be the final judge. But what we should do is that if we know that this something is from Allah and clearly from Allah, and He wants it for us, or something is haram and it's clearly haram, we have to take it despite internal resistance. Take it despite internal resistance. And what will happen is that the things that you hate or are difficult for you, when you struggle with yourself, Allah loves this, but I struggle with myself, struggle with myself. That hardship that comes with Allah's obedience will decrease. And then decrease. And the more that you struggle with yourself, the more that it will decrease and decrease until a person will reach a point where they will start loving it and find no hardship in it by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it takes time. It takes time. You know, as some of the Salaf has said, the pious predecessors, he said, I struggled with myself to pray at night 10 years or more. Or 20 years or more. And the next 10 or 20 years, I enjoyed it. I found the sweetness of the salah. But look how hard he had to fight with himself. 10 years, right? Where maybe every night you have to force yourself to stand up and pray and pray. And some days it will be easy, some days it will be very difficult, but you struggle with yourself and keep doing it and keep doing it. And the shaitan one day is very weak and the shaitan some other day is very strong. But you keep struggling with yourself and 10 years pass or maybe 20 years pass and then after that, he said, then I found the sweetness of that ibadah, that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it took a while. Right? And maybe that's what we need to do. To keep at it. To keep doing it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us that sweetness. But see there? There is that resistance. Right? Or maybe there is something that we are addicted to. Something haram that we are addicted to. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to resist it and to keep resisting it. Because we're attracted to it. And there's love for it in our hearts. But the more that we try and keep trying and ask Allah for assistance, eventually that love will turn into hatred and repulsion. You would not want to do it or be next to it or to hear anything about it. Because why? The love of Allah has already inhabited your heart and there's no place in it for that thing to corrupt it. Right? There's no space. There's no space at all. And that is one of the benefit of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you reach that level, you'll be among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. But Allah made iman beloved to you and beautified it, made it beautiful in your hearts. And He made disbelief, great sin and all disobedience hated to you. We can reach, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, we can reach that level. But it needs struggle and also treatment of our hearts. Sin, when it enters its heart, there's an interesting saying by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. And he said, al-ithmu hawazul qulub. Al-ithmu حَوَازُ الْقُلُوبِ. And what he means by that, رضي الله عنه, is you know how something nags you all the time inside your hearts and it doesn't settle? Remember that example we gave of that chair, right? And you're looking for that comfortable chair. And that sin goes into your heart and tries this chair, this chair, this chair, this chair, and finds no place that it's comfortable with, and it keeps moving, keeps moving, keeps moving inside. This is mahaka fi sadrik, as the Prophet ﷺ talks about. It keeps moving in your heart. Right? Finds no comfortable place inside. Your heart is not ready for it, and there's no available seat. So it keeps moving and moving and moving and moving. That's that nagging feeling that you have when you do something wrong. Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he calls it hawazul qulub. Sin, leaves a cutting mark in the heart. It's like if you take a knife or anything sharp and you rub it on a surface, what does it leave? Scratches, right? And maybe sometimes if you keep rubbing it long enough, a groove inside. He says sin is like that, right? It leaves a mark on your heart as it keeps going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It doesn't settle. So he says, ithm is like that, right? It doesn't settle and it disturbs your heart and it brings tension to it and unhappiness. So it says, when you find that and your heart is actually healthy, that is a sign that this thing is wrong. This is a sign that this thing is wrong. Okay? Maybe inshallah we'll take a couple of examples. But if the heart is black, it won't be able to feel any of that. Remember the last hadith that we talked about, right? When the heart is filled with darkness and blackness, and it's unable anymore to distinguish right from wrong, that is a heart that is dead. So if the heart is dead or is almost dead, it can't feel that anymore, right? That's why if someone comes and says, you know, you're talking about the universality of virtue and universality of the hatred of sin. Well, I don't find that. I do the sin, I feel nothing. I'm fine with it. I disobey Allah and I feel nothing and I'm fine with it. Then what's the problem then? Is it with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? No. The problem is with your heart. Because your heart is either dead or about to. Or at least that part of it that is supposed to sense that this is wrong is numb. It's very numb. It doesn't feel anything, right? When you take drugs, you don't feel anything. So you don't feel any regret or any remorse because that part of the heart is dark. You don't feel any regret that you are not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that part of the heart is not alive. So a heart that is dead is unable to tell right from wrong. So it cannot benefit from this hadith. You follow me? A heart that is dead cannot benefit from this hadith and says, virtue is what I'm comfortable with and sin is what I'm uncomfortable with. In fact, it could be the opposite for that person. Whatever you're comfortable with, don't do it. Because your fitrah had been turned upside down. Right? As some people have said, or some of the Salaf had said that, when you're confused about something, you don't know if you should do it or not, see what your desire is telling you. Do the opposite. Right? It's like, think you're confused about, should I do this or should I not? And this is not like a formula for everything, but an example, some advice. You don't know, should I do this or not? He said, find where your hawa is and do the opposite. Because it's likely that your hawa is on the wrong path. So that type of heart is on the wrong path. So okay, that doesn't know right from wrong. So it can't use that argument and it cannot use that hadith. You have to purify your heart and cleanse it. Then only you will be able to know right from wrong. The sick heart also, we talked briefly about the sick heart last time. The sick heart is what? That has both darkness and lightness in it. Right? Both darkness and lightness in it. That heart has some access to light, some access to the truth, but that is also mixed with sin. So this heart has limited ability to tell right from wrong. Limited. It's not that he has no ability, but limited ability. Based on what? Well, how much light do you have and how much darkness do you have? How much iman do you have and how much hypocrisy you have? Then you'll be able to tell right from wrong based on what you have inside. But again, you have limited ability. So who has the full ability to tell right from wrong? Which heart has the full ability to tell right from wrong? The clean heart. The heart that has been cleansed. The sound heart had been cleansed from disease, had been cleansed from shirk, had been cleansed from the dominating love of someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important one in it. That is the heart that benefits most from this hadith. Right? And again, let me emphasize, it's not saying that for this heart, let's do away with the sharia, let's do away with the Quran, let's do away with the sunnah and just follow your heart. That's not what it's saying. But in specific circumstances, you can use your heart. Sayyidina, give us an example where even a cleansed heart can make a mistake. I'll give you an example. And that is a very important example. Remember the time when the Prophet ﷺ was negotiating the truce of Al-Hudaybiyah, right, with Quraysh. And they put on all these conditions that a lot of the Sahaba thought were unfair. And they were already disappointed because they just wanted to perform Umrah and enter Mecca. They had this love for that place and love for that sacred mosque over there. So they denied that. And on top of that, right, all of these conditions that they did not like and thought that they could do better. And the Prophet accepted all of it. And you had a lot of the Sahaba, even senior Sahaba, coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and saying, how can we accept this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this is from Allah azza wa jal. And Allah will never let us down. And Umar, among, you know, the Sahaba, who even after he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said the same thing. How can we accept this? Still his heart could not accept radiallahu anhu that judgment. It was very difficult for them. It really was a strong, severe test. But Allah was testing the believers and the non-believers at that moment. So there their hearts were cleansed and pure. These are the best of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet in some judgments, the heart will fail you. So you can't say, I'll subject all the commands of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to my heart. No, sometimes they will come with something that your heart will not understand and sometimes will resist. So even if you have a cleansed heart, so here we have to take and be receptive to that everything that Allah has said, everything that the Prophet ﷺ had said has to be accepted. That's actually what it means to have a sound heart. This is what it means. That who is the judge of your heart? Who is the hakim? Is Allah Azza wa Jal. Is the Prophet ﷺ. Not myself, not my opinion, not my shahwa, not my desire. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. That's a condition for having a sound heart. Whatever Allah tells me, I'm listening to. Whatever Allah tells me not to do, I'm going to run away from. That is a definition of a sound heart. When you have resistance in my heart and your heart, no, I'm going to put my personal opinion before, that's not a sound heart anymore. I'm going to put my desire before, your desire is, you know, is greater than the love of Allah. That's not a sound heart anymore. My intellect comes before what Allah, I know that Allah had told me. That is not a sound heart. You know? That is a heart that still needs to be treated and still needs to be cleansed. But when can you use it if you have a cleansed heart? You can use it in ambiguous matters. Ambiguous matters. Like we talked about them, right? Al-mutashabihat. Matters that are not clear. Are they right or are they wrong? So you receive these ambiguous matters. And really there is no reliable scholar around to ask him, is this halal or is this haram? And there is no evidence and you don't know. At that point, your heart could be one of the strongest guides to tell you if you should do this or not. Consult your heart at that moment. If your heart is unbiased and it's clean, consult your heart. And your heart will tell you. Right? In ambiguous matters. Or maybe sometimes, when you receive a fatwa, and the fatwa it just doesn't sit well with you. And again, the condition is what? You need to be what? Unbiased, right? And you don't have a hawa in this issue. It's not like I really want it to be halal. I hear that it's haram. I say, this just really doesn't sit well with me. Of course it doesn't sit well with you and me. I already have a preference. I already want it to be halal. They're telling me it's haram. Of course it's not going to sit well with me. If you are actually unbiased, meaning if Allah says this, I will follow it. It doesn't matter what. And you get this fatwa, and it just really doesn't sit well with you. And sometimes it's because the person is unreliable, or sometimes the person is reliable, but people make mistakes. Right? People sometimes, even the alim, can make a mistake. So it just doesn't sit well with you. So that might be an indication that you need to take this matter and get a second opinion. And consult what other scholars of Islam have said about this. Right? As some of the Sahaba says, اتقوا زلة الحكيم. beware of the mistake of the wise person or the very knowledgeable person. The thing that when he says it, everybody says, what is this? That's wrong. So even the wise person, the person who has iman, the person who has ilm, can sometimes make a mistake. So if your heart reacts like that to it, maybe it's an indication of saying, let me see what other scholars have said, and what is the evidence over there so I can follow it better. But mostly, and the easiest way that you will find it is in ambiguous matters. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, used it when he was talking with Ishaq ibn Rahawi. Both of them are scholars. And Ishaq ibn Rahawi was consulting with him about a particular fiqh matter. And he's telling him, I'm not finding evidence for it, and this and that. He says, how do you find your heart? He says, really uncomfortable with it. He says, don't take it. Don't accept it. Al-ithmu hawazzul qulub. Sin leaves a mark in the heart. If your heart is uncomfortable with it, don't adopt that opinion. So he used it, rahimahullah. And it can be used in those circumstances. But I want to distinguish between it and waswasa. Right? You know what waswasa is? Whispers from the shaitan. Meaning that maybe you go to a alim and he tells you, no, this is halal, this is an obligation, or this is haram, here's the evidence, it's something clear. But the shaitan comes, and this happens with some of us more than others, shaitan comes and whispers, no, maybe there is something wrong, maybe there is something wrong. Don't pay attention to that. Right? This is waswasa. Like a person who, you know, some people have that illness. You make wudu, you know that you finish your wudu. But then when you finish your wudu, you say, maybe I forgot something. It's incomplete. No, there's something wrong with it. You go, you do it again. And then you finish. Then you do it a third time and you finish. You know some people who do that, right? And they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And it becomes such a burden that they stop praying. Because really for them it's really a burden. I can never make wudu and be satisfied with it. I can never really make salah. I forgot something. They repeat it. That's from the whispers of the shaitan, by the way. That's something that needs to be treated. And the treatment for it is don't pay attention to any of this. Don't pay attention to it. If just do your wudu, do your best, and then go and pray. Pray, do your best, and then finish. This is it. That's the treatment. Ask Allah for protection and to guard you from the whispers of the shaitan, but don't pay attention to any of that waswasa. Right? And proceed. And the shaitan eventually, you know, by your dua, by your insistence and struggle and sincerity, will stop. But this is waswasa. So we're not here talking about waswasa, the discomfort that you find in your heart. We're not talking about waswasa, but genuine feeling of discomfort about this particular fatwa. And here, the Prophet ﷺ again is not talking about or disregard whatever a person tells you, whatever mufti tells you. Here, ﷺ, he's talking about people who give a fatwa who are not qualified to give a fatwa. Or they give you a fatwa and you know that this thing is wrong. They made a mistake, did not study the situation very well. You know in your heart that this is wrong. So a person's pronouncement that this is halal doesn't make it halal. Right? You follow what I'm saying? A person's pronouncement, oh, this is halal, does not make it halal if you know that it is haram. Now, I want to talk, inshallah, a little bit about the disease of the heart, inshallah, before we leave. And you know, last time I talked about two types of diseases of the hearts. I hope you remember them. Right? He talks about two types of fitnas. تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنَ. So there are two types of fitness. And the disease of the heart also can be divided into those two types. We said one in belief and one in action. One in shubuhat, doubts and suspicions about what you believe to be the truth. And the other one is doubts about shahawat, in your desires. Right? The cravings that you have for this dunya. So we remember this, inshallah. So, what I want to say about these types of diseases is that they are connected. They are connected. How are they connected? So one of them can lead to the other. Now, how does one of them lead to the other? It says, when a person has weakness or sickness in shubuhat, that is, their belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He said is not certain. They have doubts, they have suspicions. When that is the case, in general, their heart is weaker. Right? That's what the meaning of a sickness of a limb or a sickness of body is, that the body or the heart or that limb is weak. So a sickness in belief, a sickness that is doubt or suspicion, means that the conviction of the heart and its certainty is weak. And so as a result of that, the actions of the heart, meaning the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in Him, reliance on Him, sincerity, etc., etc., also will be weak. Does that make sense? Because these things are related. If a person has, for instance, doubt, does Allah exist or not? Or has doubt about really the existence of Allah or the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can't fully trust Allah. Has doubts about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears his dua. He can't have really tawakkul on Allah. His tawakkul will be damaged. So any such suspicion or doubt damages the actions of your heart, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that is damaged, the heart is weaker in its fight against desires. So when a desire comes, the heart is already weak, it will accept it easily. And the opposite is also true. If the heart is infected with the other type of disease, with the disease of shahawat, of desire, that means also that the resolve of the heart has been weakened. The actions of the heart are weak. And because the actions of the heart are weak, your love of Allah is weak, your reliance on Him, your trust in Him is weak, that can translate later into suspicions and doubts. Let's take two examples. A person who doubts that alcohol is prohibited, isn't he more likely to be the person who drinks alcohol? Because if you are convinced that alcohol is haram and this is stable in your heart, you'll stay away from it. Your resolve of your heart is 100% that this is haram and I will not approach it. Done. If you start doubting it, you listen to someone, he said, you know, this evidence and this ijma' and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you got totally confused. Alcohol is just one example, otherwise we have hundreds of them. Just one example. So if he confuses you about alcohol, then it's not haram or possibly not haram and possibly I don't have to avoid it, at least I don't have to stay so far away from it, maybe I can... Now you're closer to drinking it, right or wrong? Right? And the opposite is also true. A person, let's say for instance, who loves to commit zina, fornication, and is used to it, addicted to it. He has no resolve in his heart to stop it. And his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his relationship with Him is somewhat damaged. If he really likes this sin, he can move on to start questioning whether it's haram or not. Because if I really like it so much and I don't want to stop, I don't want it to be haram. Why would Allah make it haram anyway? Right? And maybe He meant something else. And maybe. And that's how you find a lot of the people who are questioning, you know, the basics in Islam. So how did they come to the extent, to the point where they're questioning the really obvious things in Islam? Explicit in the Quran, in the Sunnah, there's ijma' on them. How did it happen this way? This didn't happen again overnight. It built to it. Right? Their hearts built or were built into that decision. They loved that sin, they practiced that sin, they continued to live with it, and now they wanted to adjust their life to it, and they cannot adjust to something that they know is haram. So it must turn into something halal. Follow? And again, they will argue with it, with you, till Allah knows when. And they'll never be convinced. Again, because it's not a matter of cerebral conviction, you know, intellectual conviction. It's a matter of, I want this to be true, or I want this to be false. So this is the problem, is that if there is a sickness in one part of the heart, it infects the rest. If the sickness in shubuhat, it turns into shahawat. In shahawat, it turns into shubuhat. So this is why you have to avoid both of them. Otherwise, the heart is very weak. And when the heart is very weak, like if your body is very weak. Right? You know, like if you are suffering from a little bit of cold, you just drink a little bit of cold water, what happens to you? You become even more sick. Right? Because why? Your immunity has been already compromised. You're already sort of partially sick. A little bit of, you know, cold breeze will put you in bed, right? But a healthy person, drink this, eat that, it doesn't matter. Why? My health is fine. So if your heart or my heart is sick, the smallest shubha, the smallest shahwa that will send to this person's way, kills them, or infects them, or defeats them. Whereas if you take that same influence and you put it to a healthy person, a healthy heart, it doesn't matter to them. Right? Right? Now, there are also a different type of division, let's say, of the diseases of the heart that I also want to talk about. And Ibn Qayyim talks about it, and I think it's useful. He says, the diseases of the heart can be divided into two. The first is the severe kind, the hard to treat kind, the really dangerous kind. And the other one is less dangerous, but oddly enough, more noticeable. Whereas the first one is not so easily noticeable. What is the first kind? He said the first kind is the disease of ignorance, and the shubuhat, the doubts, and the shahawat, the desires of this world. He says that's the first kind. And he says that's the most severe one. And treatment for that can only be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ignorance, right? I don't know anything. Who can teach you about Allah? About what He wants from you except Allah azza wa jalla. No one else can teach you. Shubuhat, who can sort of satisfy the doubts that you have, the questions that you have, except Allah Azza wa Jal. That's it. Shahawat, your desires, who can tell you this is good for you, but all of these things are wrong? Who can tell you that emphatically, with certain knowledge, except Allah Azza wa Jal? That's it. He says, the only treatment for these diseases comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the doctors are the prophets of Allah. You have to go to them to treat you. And that is the most severe one. Cannot be treated by anybody else. But oddly enough, people don't notice these things, because the heart is distracted. For the most part, people don't notice these things. They notice other types of diseases that I will talk about. But that type of disease, the heart doesn't notice that it is ignorant, because it's already ignorant. And the heart doesn't notice, right, that it is suffering under those desires and under those doubts. Why? Because it goes on and it drowns itself with and distracts itself with the world around it. So yeah, something is not right inside, but I will talk to this person and I will go outside and I will buy this thing and I will play with that thing and so on and so on and so on and keep myself busy all the time. And your heart is screaming, but the more that your heart screams, the more you say, oh, take this. And you know, take this, right? Oh, no, and take this. So the heart is drowning in all of these treatments. But they are not, in fact, treatments. They are temporary relief, right? Temporary relief. But the heart, as soon as it's like a drug, you give it a drug, and the heart soon wakes up from it, and you give it another drug, and then another drug, and then another drug. Right? The other type of illnesses that he talks about are the ones that we and you and everybody else notices. Sorrow, fear, depression, anger. He says everybody notices this. And this you can treat with medicine that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you can treat it with types of medicine that are commonsensical, based on your experience. So if you are bored, what do? You talk to people. That's a kind of medicine, right? You're depressed, what do? You talk to a person who had the same experience. You know, that could take your depression or the cause of your depression away. So these things can be treated. If you understand yourself, you understand your society, you understand your weaknesses and your strengths, etc., etc. But the full treatment lies still in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you really don't know if that treatment is the right treatment or not. For instance, I'm bored. Okay, what should I do? Go talk to people. If Allah doesn't tell you what you should talk about, how you should select these friends, you'll talk to everybody. and you think that you're actually treating your boredom, in fact you're inviting more illness by the influence that they are bringing in your hearts. Oh, you know what, let's go and do this haram thing. You know, you'll have a lot of fun. You're bored, you don't know what to do, you don't know any better, so you'll go and do it. So you were suffering from one type of illness, you sought medication over there, they added an illness to your illness. Right? Because you don't know. So you can use these, what he calls, natural treatments. But you need Allah's guidance to tell you how to use them. And better than all of that is to use them with the religious treatments. But you go to the first one, the most severe disease of the heart, and the only treatment that you will find is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says the hearts are dead, and that's why they don't feel it. That's why they don't feel it. The pain that the heart has. The last thing that I wanted to say, and I don't know if we have a couple of minutes, inshallah. There was a nice saying from Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, and we encountered Hudhayfa last time, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, who is a Sahabi. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman divides hearts into four. And I want to really focus on the last part, which he describes the diseased heart. He said, Hudhayfa, al-qulubu arba'a qalbun musaffah, فذاك قلب المنافق وقلب أغلف فذاك قلب الكافر وقلب أجرد كأن فيه سراج يزهر فذاك قلب المؤمن وقلب فيه نفاق وإيمان فمثله مثل قرحة يمدها قيح ودم ومثله مثل شجرة يسقيها ماء خبيث وطيب فأيما غلب عليها غلب. He says hearts are of four kinds. He says the first kind is a two-faced heart, and this is the heart of the hypocrite. Musaffah. That is, it's inclined to one, but not the other. So the hypocrite has two faces, right? So musaffah meaning it is inclined in one direction, but it shows that it favors the other. This is the heart of the hypocrite. And an enwrapped heart. And this is the heart of the disbeliever, right? A heart that had been sealed. There's a barrier that is covering it. Alayhi ghilaf. So this is the heart of the disbeliever. And a cleansed heart. As if there is in it a radiant lamp inside. That's the heart of the believer. So he says he likened the heart of the believer to a heart that is cleansed, clean, and there's a radiant lamp inside. So not only is it clean, there's light coming out of it. And then the heart that has both hypocrisy and faith in it. This is the sick heart. Like that of an ulcer that is supplied with blood and pus. And like a tree that is watered with polluted water and fresh water. Whichever one of the two waters is more, wins the heart. So the last part is the one that I really want to emphasize. He says it's like an ulcer. You know what an ulcer is, right? And he says this ulcer has two supplies to it. Pus and blood. Meaning that he wants to say blood is good, pus is bad. Or he says that it is like a tree. And it's supplied with two types of water. A clean water and a polluted water that is feeding that tree. So whichever one of the two is more, the tree will belong to that camp. If the cleansed water is more than the diseased or the polluted water, it will be a believing heart. But if more of the other type of water is more, that polluted water is more, it will be the heart of a hypocrite. So these are the four types of the heart. The hypocrite, complete hypocrite, done. The kafir, done. The cleansed heart, done. What is terrifying is that what remains after this is a heart that has both what? Hypocrisy and iman in it. That's what's terrifying. Hypocrisy and iman. And these images are very useful. Because you can imagine your heart being supplied by these two streams. There is good water coming your way, coming from a clean river, and there is polluted water, and you know yourself, and I know myself better than anyone else. You know the source of that clean water, and you know the source of that polluted water in your heart and in my heart. We know, right? We know where it's coming from. So it's saying that it is now up to you. You allow more of that clean water inside, your heart will be the heart of the believer. You neglect your heart and you let more of that polluted water inside. Meanwhile, you're thinking, I'm thinking, I have iman. But you let more of that polluted water inside and your heart is closer to the heart of the hypocrite. So what do you do to save yourself? For me to save ourselves? You allow what? The clean water inside. And you nourish that iman tree. You nourish it. And you take care of it. So that eventually it will become a cleansed heart. The problem is that we keep supplying it. And it keeps struggling with that other source. And that is the source of our tension in our life, right? That tree cannot really fully grow. It grows when you come to the masjid and it's about to bear fruit. Then you leave the masjid and we go somewhere else and do some other stuff. And then the fruit falls. And it's sick. Right? So the more that we commit by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the right source, the more that we will see the fruits of iman growing on that tree. And the less, the more that we will keep struggling with a tree that is not giving fruit. And then we complain, what is happening to my iman? Why is it that I'm not seeing this? Where is the love of Allah? Where is the sweetness of iman? How am I not finding, you know, khushu' in salah? Concentration in salah. Sweetness when I pray. Sweetness when I make dua. Why am I not doing this? Because part of the heart is not ready. Part of the heart is numb. Part of the heart is dark. Part of the heart is being supplied by that polluted water. Stop it. That's the solution for it. Stop it. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. This is the explanation for today's hadith. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening and for your attention. And if you have questions, by the way, we do have time for questions. So let me know if you have any questions. If not on air, then inshallah after we turn off the camera, you can ask me. And if your question is good, we can share it with other people, inshallah, when we meet next time. And the same thing, you know, goes for the sisters. If you have questions, you can send them to us. And if not, just let me know. And if a group of you is interested, I can meet up with you upstairs and you can ask me the questions that you are interested in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.